Mark Zuckerberg took a verbal beating after his apology tour. Is the company making inroads to repair the public's trust? This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton talks with an analyst about mega CEOs and their mega problems. And that starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. As always, we have not checked in with a friend of the show recently. His name is Rob Enderle. Rob is the principal analyst and co-founder of the Enderle Group. It's a tech industry analytical shop, and he's been in the business for about 20 years. There are three legs on this stool. We wanted to get his perspective on the fate of Facebook, the new privacy regulations in Europe, and the pressure that's weighing on Elon Musk. So let's get to it.
Rob Enderle, principal analyst for the Enderle Group.
Let's start with Facebook because the shareholder meeting is scheduled for the day we are recording on. Let's talk about Sheryl Sandberg, who was at Recode this week to say that we fire people after the Cambridge Analytica crisis, but we don't trot them out in front of the media. But I seem to remember her going underground for the first 5 days of that scandal. Do you think that they've redeemed themselves since then?
No. I mean, the fact of the matter is this was a bad breach of trust between Facebook and its users, who really aren't its customers. And it kind of points to the whole problem of this advertising funding model, where the people that are being served are not the people that think they're the customers. So the users are being served up as product, and the advertisers are paying the bills. The end result is the users are being abused, and this was an extreme form of abuse. When you actually compromise an election, it's pretty bad, and you compromise it under the auspices of a foreign government or under the direction of a foreign government that wants to do the nation harm, then arguably you are acting in not only against your users, you're acting against the very country you're residing in.
He said he would welcome some, you know, logical regulations. Well, that makes sense because regulations tend to help the incumbent, don't they?
They do to a certain part. And then when you say logical, in other words, he'll accept the regulations that look good to him. It's much like a child that needs to be punished and says, you know, here are the list of punishments you can apply. Realize I've been bad. If you could take away my yogurt privileges for a week or something, but leave my TV stuff alone because that's unreasonable. So do understand that, yeah, he's saying reasonable regulations, but what is reasonable to him and what is appropriate for the crime may be two different things. Realize that in doing this, they violated their consent decree, and on paper,
right,
the government basically owns Facebook now. The amount of fine that they could legitimately charge Facebook with exceeds the amount of free cash in the world, so the Facebook doesn't have that kind of money. So he's basically operating a company he doesn't own at the moment until we actually find out what that fine's going to be.
That's true, but he does hold 60% voting options, and that shareholder meeting today, do we expect anything from that, or is it just going to be another dog and pony?
I think the shareholders are going to express their dislike for the past behavior. They're looking for something much stronger from Facebook. You'll certainly see Facebook resist that.
Rob, one quick question. I realize this is not a correlation necessarily, but it is a shadow of something that happened at Google in the earlier days with young CEO. And they brought on, quote unquote, the adult, and they brought in Eric Schmidt. And that was supposed to be Sheryl Sandberg as the chief operating officer of Facebook. Is she fulfilling that role?
Apparently not. I mean, this is something that should have been caught. It happened on her watch. The difficulty, as I say, though, is the model. This is a model that allows for this kind of abuse because the customers are not the customers. We are not the customers of Facebook. It's the folks that pay the bills that are the customers. And in this case, Russia was basically paying the bill. Remember, they've got that internal memo floating around that said, you know, hey, even if terrorists use this to commit crimes, it's okay because we were about hooking people up and allowing them to connect. That kind of attitude goes part and parcel to this model. I personally think it's corporate suicidal.
All right, let's go from weaponization of Facebook, weaponization of GDPR. What's your take on GDPR? And do you think that it's just too expensive for companies to have two sets of rules and that it will flow around the world, these new regulations?
Well, a lot of us think it should. So protecting individual privacy should be important to everyone because it's really our right. And the Europeans have been far more aggressive on this than the U.S. has. But the reality is, if you're going to comply with this, the only way that I can see you could fully comply is if you treat these rules as global rules and not just national rules. If you're an international company, and of course a lot of our new services and manufacturing services are international. So the end result is I think we're going to come as a world to the conclusion that if you want to behave as a world player, then GDPR is going to have to be your policy of record.
as a devil's advocate kind of question, isn't the EU kind of playing a little protectionist policy with the GDPR on this because they don't have Silicon Valley? We kind of do, and they want to have their industry be able to catch up by stifling some competition?
You could certainly argue that there may be ulterior motives here, but they've been pretty aggressive on privacy since the beginning. This is consistent with that behavior. So while it may provide that benefit in this particular case, because they've been aggressive on privacy since pretty much day one, and I think probably one of the reasons why they've been aggressive on privacy is they don't have the technology lobbyists pushing back on the privacy message there. So there is a connection. But in this particular case, they do appear to be sincerely trying to protect their citizens. We probably should be doing a better job of sincerely trying to protect ours, particularly given the Facebook thing that just happened.
Yeah.
So the end result is I do think it's going to be a good thing for the world to get our arms around this, regardless of what the motives are.
Fair enough. And the third leg on the stool, because I know I got to let you go, I want to talk a little bit about Tesla and the man of many side hustles, Elon Musk. And he's been a little petulant recently. We had the earnings call. Then we have a couple of Twitter tirades.
He's under a lot of pressure. The fact of the matter is Tesla's looking like running out of money. And before the end of the year, things don't get fixed. And they're burning cash at an incredible rate. And their production cars is well behind where it needs to be. You know, you don't have a fixed amount of cash. Mm-hmm. And they raised a lot, but they're burning through it at an almost unbelievable rate. And so the end result is he's under a ton of pressure. If Tesla goes under, there's a good chance he's going to take a number of his companies with it, because they're intertwined. And once you get that rep and getting more funding for things like SpaceX and the tunnel company and the rest of its secondary efforts, is going to be much more difficult. Like a lot of the folks that operate at his level, we call it running at the ragged edge if you're sailing, his level of debt, his level of risk is unusually high. And all it takes is one major failure and the entire house of cards could collapse. And when you put somebody under that kind of pressure, they're probably going to misact, and I think we're seeing that now.
I hate to do it again, but it's not a correlative, but I'm reminded of there was a period in Howard Hughes' career where he was under a tremendous amount of pressure. He was being called a war profiteer and you know, at Congress, and he didn't have Twitter to go to, but Elon does. Is Elon serving himself well by showing that he's under this kind of pressure?
Probably not. When he had the backlash against the financial analysts who were asking legitimate questions, his stock took a tumble. Tesla stock took a tumble. So the market will punish him for that behavior. Basically, it's punishing all his stockholders and his company. So the behavior is not serving him or his company well. And remember, Hughes at least had an excuse. He'd been badly hurt in an accident in a P-38 prototype. And the end result is I think people realize it done some brain damage to him and it caused him to spiral down. Musk does not have that excuse.
Rob, I'm so glad to get some time on your calendar. Thank you for sharing it with us, and have a great trip.
My pleasure. Talk to you soon.
That was Rob Enderle. Rob is the principal analyst and co-founder of the Enderle Group. He was in Austin doing some on-location analysis of the new-look Dell Corporation. And that's going to do it for this week's broadcast. But the podcasts, well, those live forever online. We thank our guests for sharing their time and expertise with us. You can check out KGORadio.com and look for the Techonomics link or the show notes story that I write for each week. The story has all the relevant links we use for sourcing. We are also at Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. We post there through the week, including the music we use for each week's show. And if you keyword search Techonomics, you can find the podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And you can find me on Twitter. I'm at KGOJason. For producer Liana Wilcox and executive producer Mike Anthony, I'm the host and the writer Jason Middleton. Have great weeks, everybody.